Creek, creek, I'm on the creek for the kind bud. OC late night, rolling in the V-dub, sick to scraping resin, so I'm looking for a sack. All I learn, I'll head for burn. Be a show's got my back.
Right on.
Right on, brother.
Blaze on.
Better rip that shit. Rip it.
Yeah, this is that 1605 shit. The real Huntington Beach backyard fucking growl style.
Boom, boom, boom. That's the sounds of the 50s while they're hitting in my trunk. Said boom, boom, boom. With a cop now, bitch, and we don't give a fuck.
Well, on that pig that the bitches talk about, saints what they shout, you got all the clout. A day in the life of a cop now. I took a real trip, came to a halt at an intersection, turned up the music at my discretion. D-Loke in the back said, what do I see? A Jeep full of grease just staring at me. Me, coke was right, they was in a Range Rover. Let go of my shoulder, I pulled them all over. They got out the car, reached up to my side. I said, hey, great, let's take a ride, ride. I'm saying, yo, that's D-Loke the man. Daddy, yeah, Chief of Moon, that's driving the van. So climb on in and don't be shy. We're gonna close the doors and let the games be fly.
Welcome to the Grunt Free Press Podcast. This would be episode 225, the Halloween Hangover Show. But fear not, I've got a few fun-sized Snickers I can pull out of your ass and pop in your mouth. A little hair of the queer that bit you. Because I had 4 days of October left after recording last week's show, which I'll just assume was awesome. I didn't listen to it yet. Might be a little bit too scary for me. It's like the Punky Brewster, the Halloween episode is just too much. I mean, the rest of the year is all fun and games, and then you get to that one where it just scares you silly. But go to www.gruntfreepress.com, and I'll give you some of my secondhand leftover candy. Podcast at gruntfreepress.com was the house that gave out the apples your mother told you not to eat. And she was right about that. I mean, they were also just smeared in shit. I call those crap apples. I'm absolute deicide. And I'm really going to stop now and save the rest of those little gems for next year. I'm sure I fucking repeated a few of them anyway, because we've been doing this for so long. Yeah, I'm not gonna fucking go back and check every episode for whatever stupid pun or not even pun, I don't know what the hell you'd call those, just bad jokes and fucking like segues and shit. I'm sure I've repeated them probably multiple times by now, but I really don't fucking care at this point. If I started second guessing everything that I said, I mean, I might as well be a fucking, this might as well just be fucking an hour of silence at that point. If I was just checking everything, and again, I'm not a researcher, like whatever, I just fucking do whatever the fuck I feel like doing, which is not much most of the time. So it'd just be silence. It'd be silent. You know, that'd be a pretty big hill to climb. Getting what I'm laying down here. So you thought I'd make it a year without playing a Silent Hill game. So you must be unfamiliar with my origins. All right, yeah, that's it. It's out of my system now. So Silent Hill origins with a zero there instead of an O. So I mean, it'd be Silent Hill Zero Origins, technically. I mean, just leave the clever fucking title fonts alone. I mean, we get it. I mean, you just call it fucking Origins. You had to put a fucking zero in it. You know, it's like fucking whatever. Gears 5, just call it Gears of War 5 and let other people call it Gears 5 or call it Silent Hill Origins. And if people want to put a zero in it themselves, do it. But whatever. I'm getting off track. So I played Silent Hill Origins on a PlayStation 2. I'm pretty sure, too, that's the first PlayStation 2 game that I played since I got, like, the modern setup I got for it now with the HDMI cable. It's not, like, an official one. It's just, like, you know, upscale your fucking PlayStation games with the aftermarket HDMI cable. It was, like, Pound HD or something like that. It's the company that makes it. So that worked fucking great. The picture was about as clear as you could ask for from a PS2 game. And it's still a little iffy on the responsiveness of the controls, you know. I can fucking like play it, but I'm still like, it feels a little bit off. But I mean, PlayStation controllers in general are the fucking bane of my existence. There's always something wrong with them anyway. I mean, regardless if it's the fucking, I don't think it's the pick, like the HDMI cable. I mean, it might be the fucking actual system at this point because it's so fucking old. It's got like, I have to jiggle the power cord and bend it a certain way and put it underneath it to keep it bent that way to make sure it's powered on. Like, who the fuck knows? It could be the system. It could be the fucking controller port. It might be the controller, but I mean, this fucking controller I'm using now, if I shake it, it fucking, like, rattles like a baby rattle. But, it worked enough. It worked good enough for this. I mean, it wasn't fucking, like, cursing the fucking controller as I was playing. It was fucking, that wasn't what I was fucking, like, really having a problem with. So, the Silent Hill Origins, the game originally, and you get it? Originally. So first it came out on the PlayStation Portable system, if you remember that thing. I mean, I don't really, like, I barely fucking remember that. It was one of those brilliant fucking Sony ideas where you could carry around, like, a handheld device that could play, they would say, console quality games at the time. But I mean, they were still predictably shittier looking than a PlayStation 2 game would actually be. And also, like, why would you want to play like a full, you know, whatever 10 plus hour fucking console game? You know, it just involved the fucking game that's going to take you, you know, concentration and going through, like, there's no, like, quick, oh, I'm just playing, like, a 2 minute round of Tetris or whatever the fuck, or, you know, this turn-based thing that's going to take me, I can pause it and, like, close the fucking system off, turn the system off and get back to it later. Like, I don't know why you would want to play, like, a full fucking game on the go, but never understood that. Because Japs, I mean, that's why they live on the subway, I'm told. So, yeah, Silent Hill Origins did get ported to PlayStation 2 eventually, along with, I think, every other PSP game that was worth half of a shit, because not too many people fell for that stupid, oh, carry a console around with you bullshit. Like, it didn't really fucking land as well as I thought it was going to. So I bought the PlayStation 2 game, Silent Hill Origins, when it was new, and I did not like it one bit back then. You know, you have to realize, you know, Origins came out post Silent Hill 4, The Room. Like, this is after Silent Hill 4. Like, this series had already been going on PlayStation 2, even. There'd already been, like, 3 Silent Hill games, you know, 2, 3, and The Room. Might be other one, I'm not even remembering, but it was, like, those 3 core ones, and then, like, Origins comes out afterwards. I mean, Silent Hill 4, I'll remind you, that was a divisive game, but regardless of how people felt about, like, how, you know, that game, like, just like the look of it, it was undeniably, like, that, the last Silent Hill game just looked a hell of a lot better than most games released at the time. You know, just a good-looking game, The Room, when it came out. And then, like, years later, it's like, oh, here's this PSP port of the Silent Hill game, and didn't quite, you know, it's like, even then it's like, this doesn't look as good as the last one, you know, it looks worse. And but if you know, playing it now, you know, I'm playing this fucking, so it's like, graphically, I mean, you play it and I was just thinking, like, I don't know, this pretty much looks like a PlayStation 2 game looks, you know what I mean? Like, I couldn't fucking tell that I wouldn't be like too upset. Like, fucking, it looks about the same quality as any other fucking PlayStation 2 game. Not that big of a deal. I would say it's actually impressive that they managed to put it on a portable device. I mean, that was, again, the whole fucking, like, gimmick is, oh, dude, we have, like, these console games that you carry around with you, and then fucking, like, at the time, it's like, well, those look worse than the console games, but now this just blends together, like, the way the games look. It's like, yeah, it looks like a PlayStation 2 game, whatever. But yeah, trust me on that, though. It didn't, like, when Origins came out, like, it looked dated back then, for the time. So, yeah, time has been rather kind to Silent Hill Origins. You know, I liked it enough now to play. I played through it all the way. Even though it does feel like a by the numbers, it's kind of a check these boxes to make a Silent Hill game. At this point in the series absence, I mean, that's kind of good enough, you know. It's fucking like, oh, cool, it's like, oh, it's just kind of like a run-of-the-mill Silent Hill game. Oh, well, I could probably go for that. Now, it's been so long since, like, one came out, just playing, you know, just a generic one. It's fucking like, ah, you know, I missed the shit. It looks, you know, gets you back into the fold of the series, like what it was known for. So, yeah, you play as a trucker named Travis. He's hauling a load. He winds up in Silent Hill, and he sees a burning building and goes inside to rescue a girl that's in there. And that girl turns out to be Alyssa Gillespie, you know, who's the driving force behind the town of Silent Hill. Like, what makes it, like, Silent Hill? Silent Hill is supposed to be, like, her subconscious or whatever. You know, from the first game and the other games and shit, it's like her, you know, her like fucking essence is what fucking makes the town, make people see shit, and fucking, you know, makes it all foggy and ashy and fucking whatever. So, yeah, as you might expect from the Origins subtitle. You know, there's a lot of cameos from characters that are already known in the series. You know, some fan service, and they over-explain some shit that really didn't need to be further explained. You know, as you would expect from an origin story. You know, the nurse is there, Lisa, her name is. She's there. She doesn't really do much. She doesn't really have much to do with the story. She's kind of shows up and hits on Travis for a second, and then they laugh about it, and then she disappears for the rest of the game. Like you never see her again. You know, there's a monster with a giant knife in there. Not Pyramid. It's not Pyramid Head though. It's just like, I don't know, it was something kind of like Pyramid Head, I guess. So if you remember what I said about how that the Rot movie, that Silent Hill fan movie Rot. I was saying, like, that, like, Pyramid Head, like, just didn't really make sense there, you know? There's no reason for him to be there. But, you know, to their credit, they don't make that mistake in Origins, but it's kind of like, well, it wouldn't make sense to use Pyramid Head, but here's somebody who's, it's pretty much fucking Pyramid Head. It just looks different, but, I mean, the guy actually is a good build up in it, too. He's just kind of his own cool character. They call him the Butcher. So you just, in the game, as you're exploring the town, you pass through a butcher's shop, and there's blood trails everywhere along the floor, and dissected carcasses hanging up, and there's messages in the shop on the walls, like in blood, saying beware the Butcher, and like all this shit, like building up to this character. The pacing of it's cool, because the first time you go through, you see that in the butcher shop, nothing really comes of that. Like, you're not fighting him, you don't even see him, you just fucking walk to the shop and you just keep going on your fucking merry way. But then you go to like some other level, like a sanitarium or something, then like afterwards, like you have to go through the butcher shop again, and you finally do like see this big fucking hulking thing, whatever the fuck, I don't know how to describe it. It's just like a big thing, it's like a pyramid head looking dude, and like fucking the apron, butcher's apron and shit, and he's just him like slicing up one of the smaller creatures, just like slicing it in half. And it's pretty like brutal looking, fucking like gory, and the dude looks fucking like intimidating and shit. And then he just kind of like, I think he just goes out of the room after that. So you don't even fight him then. It's just fucking like another like little build up to him. And then finally he does show up and you fight him. And it's just in like this square closed off room that is like a table in the middle of it. So, I mean, you just kind of walking around in circles, like around the table and shooting him and just fucking until he dies, and fucking it's fine. I don't think he even hit me once. It's just fucking like, all right, here's a slow guy with a giant knife, and he's just chase me around this table slowly. I can just like get keep walking in circles, just turn around, take a couple shots, keep walking, turn around, take a couple shots slowly till he dies, slightly anticlimactic. So the entire game does feel a bit soulless. I mean, they got the they definitely have like the look down, the Silent Hill looks there. The audio is actually really good, but I think the story in it's not that interesting. I mean, if you look at the other protagonists of the series, it's kind of even them, like all the fucking like best of in the best games, like the people that you're playing as, they're kind of like unemotional and unfazed by what's happening around them. I mean they kind of supposed to be like an avatar. It's a blank slate for you a little bit to fucking project yourself into their shoes a little bit, but they have their own stories and backstories and shit. But but even compared to them, like Travis is just not like nothing. Like he's like a nothing character, just like a block of wood. like nothing's really going on there. You look at like their reasons for being in the town too, going through the series. Like in the first game, you had Harry Mason. His daughter is like Alyssa, like her twin or whatever. in the first game. Like, that's why he was drawn to Silent Hill. And James Sunderland in the second one, I mean, he's there like a purgatory. So, you know, he killed his wife. And, you know, he's sort of like in this grief state he has to get through. That's why he's there. And then Heather is Harry's daughter in the third, you know, so it's just fucking just, you know, call back. That's why she's going back. She's, that's Alessa, I guess. I mean, that's the girl from the first game you're playing. Yeah. So that makes sense too. And then, you know, even, in the room, you know, he had fucking Walter Sullivan, who was the serial killer, who was just haunting, just happens to be haunting this guy's apartment. And that's why he's in there. I mean, I kind of forget what the fuck Homecoming and Downpour was about, but I'm pretty sure those guys had a better reason for being in Silent Hill than fucking Travis, which is just pretty much like, yeah, I'm, you know, driving a truck through there and I stopped or whatever. Somebody ran in front of his truck, so we stopped. The big twist that I got out of the story was, his father killed himself in a sleazy motel in the town when Travis was a boy. And yeah, when Travis found his dad, he just kind of looked at his dead body that was hanging there. It was just like looking at it for too long. Like, that's the thing. Like that's, it seems like kind of a minor harmless thing that he did. It was like, I found my dad dead, and I just fucking was like talking to him like he was alive. And I just kind of looked at him for a little bit, you know, a little bit too long. It's more like some just slightly off behavior from a child with a neglectful upbringing than anything else. And that's basically all that we get for Travis's character. It's like that one little piece of that. And then it's fucking like really not. He's just, again, it's like a, I don't know, some guy walking around the fucking town. Nothing crazy about his, you know, why he's there, his backstory, what he did in the past that was fucked up. It's just like, nope. I mean, found his dad dead in a hotel, and that's about it. They can lean pretty heavily into the whole cult aspect of the town, which, I mean, I realize that's part of the Silent Hill lore, but I think that's like the least interesting aspect of any of those games is fucking like the reason that the, you know, why the town is like, is more, that's even like, that's like an issue I had with 3, even like Silent Hill 3. I just think it gets really silly when they explicitly go into like, oh, this cult, this, you know, the people in the town, the fucking rituals they do, and oh, they're trying to birth a god and blah, blah, blah. Like, I'd much rather have like all of that shit can be like way in the background. It's just kind of like, well, it's some kind of reason to drive this, whatever, not even to like drive the story again. It's like a background thing of like, oh, this is the shit that's going on in the town is in the background. It's more about the character that you're playing as in the town. Yeah, I don't like when they fucking just like focus on like, oh, this is what happened, and, you know, because XYZ, dude, like even like the Alyssa shit, it's just fucking like, oh, that's why Alyssa is fucking, it's just like, that's just kind of ridiculous. I'd rather, you know, you're picking up like newspaper clippings and shit to read about that, and then the main thing is just creating metaphors for the fucked up shit the characters have gone through, or, you know, again, you're seeing like this, reading about these insane fucking incidents that happened with the cult, like just in a random fucking file somewhere, and, you know, just get like these bits and pieces of what's going on and why everyone you meet is so strange. And then, I prefer that than fucking like, oh, here's like this concrete bullshit. So yeah, at the end of Origins, you just fight a demon like that. That's the last boss of the game, is like a fucking like red, winged demon that shoots fucking fire at you. And, you know, it's just like a cartoon fucking demon, or from like fucking Ghosts and Goblins or something like that. Or maybe it's fucking Pazuzu from The Exorcist. I don't fucking know. Or the gargoyle from fucking Gargoyle's Quest or whatever. Yeah, I mean, that's the kind of, like, main crux of fucking Origins. They're explaining shit that didn't really need to be expanded upon. Again, I kind of like 3. oh, if like, I didn't love three, that was an okay one, but it's just the same kind of shit. So they're explaining all the occult shit, but they're not really adding anything of value to it. It's just fucking, oh, well, this shit that they really didn't need to explain, but we're going to explain it more. And just kind of goes like nowhere. Like, shit, you didn't need to know. At least three, again, because it was Harry's daughter's story. It just kind of, okay, this is advancing, you know, like advancing in time, the story, not just fucking like, okay, here's just some origin bullshit. I don't know. I know, I realize it's called Origins, but come on. So, but I mean, playing it though, it is classic Silent Hill. There's that going for it. Still a creepier game than like 75% of the other horror games out there. There's also a lot of doors. There's so many fucking doors in the game. You would get to a point in the other games where same shit. I mean, there'd just be so many broken doors or blocked doors or locked doors or whatever that it would be like teetering on the point of like, is this like a joke they threw in here? Just there's so many fucking doors that you're walking past in this fucking game where, you know, this fucking, you can't get through. But it never really crossed that line into being like silly like that. Like you'd get a little bit sick of seeing like, oh, this door is jammed, but you'd still like go through the time to like check every one, because chances are they'd be like, you know, you'd find out of five doors, four of them would be locked, and then like that fifth one would have whatever health or ammo in a random room somewhere. But like that worked in the other games, because you know it's like, all right, so you just sit there, open up your map, and think like you look at like all these fucking rooms on the map, and just think, I don't want to fucking, if like I don't really, I hope I don't have to check like all like 50 of these fucking doors. Like, this will be a pain in the ass, but I have to fucking like meticulously go through this entire fucking map and check every fucking room on here. That's fucking ridiculous. But then like, as you'd be doing that, you'd do it anyway to fucking check for shit. And then like, you'd come to like, okay, well, this hallway is just blocked off somewhere. So like half the map I can't even fucking get to. Like, I see what they did. Like, they made it so it's not going to be a pain in the ass like that. You know, that'd be a fucking relief. Again, I'm just fucking like, I hope, okay, I don't have to fucking do this. Like, I'm just going to, it's going to keep moving me forward. It would, like, the other games would just brush up against, like, frustration enough that it would, like, add to the game a little bit of fucking like, oh no, they're going to fucking pull. Okay, they're not going to go over that line. They still keep it, like, fun as you're playing. But you open up a map in Silent Hill Origins, and the maps are fucking huge, you know. It's like some of them have like, I don't know, I would say like 100 fucking rooms on this map that you're looking at. And not only are you able to get into like just about all of them, like every fucking room you see, you're probably going to be checking all of those fucking doors. You know, if you run into like a blocked hallway or something, like, oh, something like, you know, the fucking ceiling caved in, you can't get past this hallway. That's not going to make navigating any easier, because it's not like fucking like, okay, well, the rest of this map's going to be blocked off. You know what I mean? It's in Origins instead, it's like fucking, it just means it's like, oh, okay, I'm going to have to get to all those rooms anyway. It's just going to be me having to like take some convoluted, confusing ass roundabout route to get there. I'm going to have to like go up some stairs and like cross the hallway and take an elevator down to fucking get to those other rooms that were there. And that's where the mirrors come into play. So I won't give them credit for trying something different and mixing up what you would expect from Silent Hill, where usually you're exploring like a, you know, you'll be in a semi normal looking building, and then, you know, those sirens will start wailing, and you're in you'll end up in like the dark version of that place, and you'd have to explore like almost the same shit again, but it would be different enough because you're in the dark world of it, you know, just fucking like switched over. It's like, okay, it was dark, and now it's like the darker world of fucking, you know, the rusty fucking bleeding people hanging from the fucking ceiling and all this, you know, right behind glass walls, you see shit just like fucking jiggling and just like weird shit. I'm like, all right, well, now it's like almost like a new, like a new place I'm going to. That would just trigger, like, once you get to a certain point of exploring the fucking, the level, like, that would switch you over. But instead of that, instead of like doing that, it's like, all right, we'll mix it up where now if you just look into a mirror in Origins, you can freely like switch back and forth between the two worlds, you know, the fucking light in the dark world. It's kind of like, the light in the dark world thing in like Zelda or whatever, a Link to the Past. To be honest, I didn't even fucking like that mechanic in A Link to the Past either. I never finished that game. Like, this is just getting too much, like, too frustrating, confusing, going back and forth between these two fucking different versions of this fucking map. Same thing in Origins. I kind of feel the same way. It just makes shit really confusing, because, there are separate maps for the two different worlds. Which pretty much means you're going to be checking all of those fucking doors twice. I mean, it was bad enough the first time. If like, I had to fucking check every single one of these doors. So, like, they're going to make me do this. And like, oh, no, you can do, not only that, you're going to do it fucking twice. So, like, in the fucking dark world and shit, too. Along with, like, puzzles of being like, well, you have to go through the dark world and find another mirror and transfer over, like, that shit. So, really fucking confusing. Like, the last real level in the game... I mean, I say like real. It's a little bit after this, but I mean, the last like location that you go into in the game is a motel, right? That's very indicative of how most of the other levels are designed to. I'm just using the last one because it's freshest in my memory, and it was just fucking probably the most confusing one by intent. It's the last level or whatever. So, this motel is just like this flat. Square, symmetrical map, symmetrical layout. It just seems like they took a map of a real hotel, and instead of looking at that and taking inspiration from it, of like, okay, well, they use this location to, design like an interesting level, like an interesting place to play through in a video game. And, we'll collapse this fucking, hallway. Don't deal with that. And we'll just like artistically warp it a little bit or do this or that. It just seems like this was like, all right, well, let's just model this fucking real place, like exactly as is. And then they took like a red marker and drew like squiggly lines, cut you off, make it more like a maze or whatever. Much like another sequel that took place in a variety of condemned locations, which I had a similar fucking complaint about. So yeah, you have to walk up to like a second floor balcony and then take a staircase back to like the first floor to access some of the rooms that are down there, and they'll be like, right next to each other again. So I can like, okay, there's a locked gate. So, like, to get to, like, we are at room 103, then to get to room 105, which is right there, it's like, oh, but the gate's locked, so we have to fucking go up these stairs, go down, over a balcony, down the stairs, go all the way across to get to, like, this other room here. There's like these penthouse rooms. One of them has like a hole you can drop down into, and then there's a mirror in there to like swap over, and you have to go back around the same shit. There's like a pool there too on the ground floor that's filled with water, and there's an item in there in the pool that you need. It's like a Fabergé heart or something like that. So I see that and it's like, all right, so I'm gonna need that, obviously, as like a key item, like a puzzle item or something, this fucking Fabergé heart like floating in the pool. But I mean, the level is just so fucking big and confusing. Like, I'm like thinking like, okay, well, is there like a pole somewhere I need, or like a pool skimmer or something near here? I'm just gonna grab that or grab it in one of these rooms, and that's how I'm gonna get the heart. Or am I supposed to find a way to like drain the pool somewhere so I can get in there? Or, I've got like opening up the map, I have like 8 different points of interest that are marked out on there, like fucking like puzzles or whatever. There's like 8 different things I could go to, but I'm going there, like nothing's like lining up of what I have to do. I was like, I have fucking no idea. And they're still like far apart from each other too, where it's just like, okay, I found another. So I need something to get something else. Well, I have to go back to the other rooms that are marked off, and it's just like a pain in the ass to get to anything, like doubling back like that again. Or it's like, okay, I have to fucking go through the mirror, go to the dark world, go up the stairs, blah, 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 jump in the hole, like all this shit. And like, oh, nope, that's not what I need. And, So you're almost fucking walking across the entire level, like, each time you want to do something like that. Yeah, I'm going to walk across my break right now, too, because I'm due. I'll punch out, and I'll be right back. Back. So, where was I? Silent Hill Origins, I believe. Yeah, checks out. So yeah, that was the speaking of Silent Hill and continuing with this Halloween that drags on for way too long. So I was at this fucking, I need to get this fucking heart in the middle of the pool in the hotel. And, yeah, just going across like the entire level, dude, just like trying to fucking like figure out what the fuck I needed to get that stupid heart. That was like the sanitarium moment where I just started like, I don't know, dude, I'm just going to look shit up. I don't feel like fucking doing this. And yeah, it's just what I expected. There's just like so much shit you have to do in like a very specific order. It's not like, okay, I'm at a dead end here and the solution is going to be in the next couple rooms I'm going to check or something. You know, it's not like fucking here's the lock and the key is fucking a little bit down the hallway somewhere in a room. You're going to find the fucking key. It's not like that. It's fucking, they want you to piece together a certain date. Like as soon as you walk into the hotel room, there's like a lock box. It's like, okay, you need the combination is like a date and you have to go through all these steps to find the right date to punch in there. And one of the clues is from like a peephole you have to look through, and you look and you see like a number written on a wall, just one of about half a dozen different peepholes in that hallway. And then of course you have to double that number, like double that number, because you have to do like the dark world too, where you're going down the same hallway looking through the same fucking peepholes. So yeah, then you've got to get to the pool in the dark world. That's how you get that heart. But I just flat out missed that completely. Like I missed the pool because the fucking, the camera angles and the graphics there that just make everything look fucking like dark and rusty and shit, which is, yeah, it's supposed to look that way. Again, it's the Silent Hill look, but because it's not like fucking like, okay, I'm stuck in this dark world and it's like fucking like, all right, well, I'll just keep looking until I find what I need. It's like, okay, well, I didn't find that, so I switched back to the light world, and like you switch back again and you're not near the pool. You have to go through the shit to get to the pool, to the fucking pool again in the dark world. I probably like ran past it and I just thought it was like a bottomless pit in the dark world. I'm like, I don't know what the fuck that is. But if you go to like look at it from a certain angle, you can see the fucking heart in there, but I wasn't at that angle. You know what I mean? So yeah, then you have to get like the other clues from expecting items and shit, like fucking cigars and like his wedding ring or like the lucky quarter around his neck that you started from the beginning to get like the other dates and shit. It's fucking like, I don't fucking know, dude. It was just too much between like the walking around, the switching worlds, plus fucking this obscure bullshit, obscure fucking shit you're doing. Fuck it. You know, I'll just fucking cheat, I guess. Like there's no other way I was going to fucking do it. Unless I spent like another 20 hours figuring that out. But yeah, I mean, the biggest issue with Silent Hill Origins, I think this is a big part of why I crapped out of it originally when I played it, and like back when it first came out. And I can kind of see why. Like I'd fucking play it and for a little bit and just be like, ah, dude, fuck this game. I'm not doing it. The melee combat, it's absolutely fucking useless in the game. It's so bad, like, just don't fucking bother. Like, that's how bad it is. Like, don't fucking bother even trying to use a melee weapon. And yeah, I mean, you don't play a Silent Hill game for the action, no, but it usually works. Like the fucking combat, it's like, oh, this isn't, it's not an action game, but it just fucking, you know, like, I can hit shit with a fucking bat or whatever the fuck, like, you know what I mean? Like, it'll work fine. You just get into, like, a rhythm of like hitting shit with like pipes or whatever while you're walking around and blocking or whatever and keeping yourself relatively safe. I'm just fucking like, all right, here's the range on this fucking thing, and I fucking figure out the range of the fucking monsters and shit and just kind of whack shit and back away and move around them and all that. And then, you know, you pull out a gun if you need to, but generally in the Silent Hill games, we don't really need guns until we just like, all right, the guns and shit you just save for the bosses, pretty much, is fucking just makes them a lot easier. Origins, they have breakable weapons. Again, if that reminds you of anything that I've recently fucking said sucked, you get the fucking drift. So and I think it has to be probably the worst implementation of weapon durability that I've ever seen in a game with something like that. I mean, usually it's fucking, it's usually not great when your fucking weapons break, but here in particular, it's like, this is just really fucking bad. So they have fucking melee weapons everywhere, like all around the fucking levels. You're picking up ridiculous shit like fucking TVs and filing cabinets and spears and sledgehammers and fucking IV racks and glass bottles. It's almost like Dead Rising, it seems like. Only it's even more comical because you just have like, at least in Dead Rising, you had like a limited inventory. You have like, what, five? I think you could max out like 10 different items you could carry at a time, and between like your health and your whatever, dude. This is just like, no, it's bottomless. You just fucking just keep picking shit up, and you can switch between like this long is on the bottom of the screen. If you start switching, it's just like this long ass fucking list of weapons. But you press left or right on the D-pad, just fucking brings up the entire fucking thing you're cycling through. It's like, this is fucking like so stupid, dude. I'm carrying just like a safe and shit you're pulling out. but so yeah, there's all those fucking different weapons, but they all break after a few hits. I mean, it doesn't matter what it is. It could just be a huge fucking solid steel wrench or a katana or a fucking board or a fucking glass jar. You're lucky if you can kill like one enemy with it before it just fucking like shatters into a million pieces. And if that's not annoying enough, once it breaks, it doesn't like auto equip you with like the next weapon. It's not like you can fucking like set up like, all right, I'll set up my best weapons at the top, and then once that breaks, it'll fucking bring me down to the next one. Instead, once a weapon breaks, it switches, just auto switches you to your fists. Which, I mean, honestly, they're just like punching shit isn't really that much worse than having a melee weapon, because it's not like you even get a feel for like the range or the attack animations of any of the weapons anyway before they fucking break. So it's like, again, it's why fucking bother doing anything. But yeah, I don't understand. Like, do they want you to pause the game every 5 seconds and go into your inventory and scroll through all your shit until you find another one that you want to use? Like after everyone fucking breaks? And I mean, that's not good design. I mean, I tried just like rolling with it for a little bit and like doing it that way. But dude, it's fucking terrible. Like, it's so fucking bad the way it's set up. I just gave up on it within an hour, and it's like, all right, I'm just gonna run around, I'll just juke out everything that I could. Or worst comes to worst, dude, if I really need to fight something, if I'm cornered somewhere, it's like, I don't even give a shit, I'm just gonna fucking take out a gun and just fucking shoot it, because at least the fucking range shit works, you know what I mean? Which I guess is kind of how you're supposed to play survival horror anyway, but just why the fuck did they go through the trouble? But why do they make such an effort to just like model and make like all these different melee weapons with like the different attacks and fucking stats and all that shit? Like, why put that in there and then you just can't use them? It's fucking insane. It's such like a flawed, shitty system for combat. I mean, the guns, on the other hand, like they're fine. Like it's fine just to fucking like shoot shit. It's like, yeah, fine. It works like you would think for a game like that. And there's also enough ammo just lying around that you don't really have to be like too jewy with the fucking ammo. It's not like, dude, I'm gonna run out and fucking not have any for a boss. Like, no, you have plenty if you just, again, just fucking run when you can, and just when you have to, just pull out a gun and shoot shit. Like, that's fucking the way to play it, I guess. The real tension just comes from, like, it's like, all right, I seem like I have plenty of ammo now. It's not that I'm really worried about a boss. It's just the fact that if I run low on it, it's like I'm just going to be fucked, like, for these normal enemies. I'm just going to have to try to fucking, like, hit them with my fists, I guess, just because the fucking the melee combat's so bad. Like, it's fucking stupid. But, I mean, despite those issues, and they are pretty big issues, I'll admit, like, fucking, but Silent Hill Origins, it's okay. I think it's all right. It's an okay game. It's clearly not up to snuff with, like, the main four games in the series, but it's an okay Silent Hill game, you know. They fucking deliver on the Silent Hill vibe. That's something. you know, often imitated, never duplicated, as they say. Where it's just fucking like, it's like, okay, this is like an actual fucking Silent Hill game. It's just, story's not good. Like, the story's not good, and the melee combat just sucks, and some of the level design's pretty shitty. But, hey, it's still fucking Silent Hill. But, speaking of which, having to do with Silent Hills, you might say, Death Stranding came out, though I think you'd be a little hard-pressed to know it. So, for definitely for a game with, what, like fucking 3 years of unprecedented hype behind it, things got real quiet real quick. like once the game releases, fucking zip, like fucking nobody was really talking about it. I mean, in all fairness, as I'm saying this, I haven't actually played Death Stranding myself, but yeah, it was one of those things where I thought, like, it's gonna be the, like, this nonstop, you know, just fucking hype through, like, it's gonna come out and it's gonna be fucking another masterpiece by fucking the great Hideo Kojima, and oh dude, is this like the best game of all time, is this the fucking game of the decade and all that shit, and you know, well, let's analyze every detail of every frame of the game, because surely there's some fucking, like, you know, hidden meaning in every rock and fucking badly translated line of dialogue. You guys just don't get it, you're not looking deep enough, like that type of thing. Not that, you know, a normal person would just play the game and be like, this is just fucking garbage, like every other Hideo Kojima game. It's like, no, it makes sense, I swear, and it's not, you know, it's not just fucking stupid bullshit. So I was sure it was going to be something that I wasn't that interested in playing, you know, because I'm really not, like, it's fucking, again, I'm not a fucking Kojima fan at all, but I'm like, all right, it's just kind of be one of those things that's just fucking unavoidable, like, I'm gonna have to fucking play it, but it's not releasing on PC for a few more months, and I was thinking, like, oh, well, I'll just fucking wait for it to come out for that, and if anything, if I was gonna play, I'm not gonna fucking play it on PlayStation 4, and I'll wait for it to be on PC and play it eventually, and let it do what they're gonna do, add fucking DLC and patch it up or whatever the fuck, then put it on PC a few months later, like, I'll check it out then. Yeah, but then I read a few reviews, and I'm shocked. You know, it's not getting those fucking, like, oh, masterpiece, like, this is an automatic 10s that I was expecting. Like, I'm seeing, I was kind of like skimming through them. It's like, okay, this is helping me see. I'm not going to play it for a few months anyway. I'll just fucking look through these reviews. So yeah, I'm seeing a lot of 7s, like, you know, 6s, 7s, 7.5s, like shit like that. And the reviews are saying it's kind of boring, and all you really do in the game is walk around and doing these, like, meaningless delivery missions and, like, side quests and shit. And I'm hearing, like, oh, the story really makes no sense, and so it pretty much sounds like Metal Gear Solid 5, The Phantom Pain, to me. Like, that's fucking, it's like, this sounds like what I was complaining about with that game, but everyone's saying it was fucking greatest game ever, and blah, 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 and masterpiece, all that shit. So I'm, like, reading, like, this one, I'm like, fucking, you know, maybe without the 20 years of Metal Gear nostalgia tacked onto it, and, you know, people are realizing, like, hey, you know, this shit kind of blows. Yeah, because I think, you know, a Kojima 7 is really like a 5 or a 6 for any other game. But, you know, the actual text in the reviews, reading them, which could be, again, like, from what I read, it could be mostly summed up as, like, this game isn't fun and it kind of bores me, but fucking, it's just like, oh, you're doing that, like, you're taking, like, twice the time that you normally would for any other game that came out, which is to just say, like, oh, this game's kind of boring and shitty. You know, it's like these long ass fucking reviews, like twice as long as they would be for like a mediocre game. You know, but it's just a lot of, like, going back and forth and justifying, like, yeah, you know, all you do is walk around fucking barren fucking places, just kind of like doing these delivery quests or whatever the fuck you're doing. But, you know, it's like, oh, you know, sure, the story's nonsense, but, you know, the game looks good, and make sure to say that 5 times and that sort of thing. I'm not going to keep harping on other people's reviews of a game I haven't played, but I just thought it was pretty funny, you know what I mean? It's fucking, again, it's years of hype, and oh my god, dude, and fucking Kojima, the genius, finally fucking unshackled from Konami's fucking greedy, uncreative hands, dude. Oh, what's he going to make? It's like, oh, it's kind of boring. Like, it's kind of fucking not that great. So, yeah, more like Death Stranded, am I right? All right, so yeah, we're really at the end of Spookfest now, Spooktober 2019. I actually finally found the horror game that made me want to stop playing horror games for about 11 months or so. It seems about right. and the one that did me in may surprise you. I mean, I think we actually might have an annual tradition going on here, because I think last year, at the end of October, I think probably the last game I played, which I would consider part of that month, was the first Fatal Frame. I think when I played it then, I probably got about halfway through it, and then I got lost as shit playing it, and had no idea what the fuck I was supposed to do to progress the game, and started looking at a walkthrough, and it was fucking like ridiculous. It was just fucking like the walkthrough was just like, all right, just go back and forth to like this place, grab a key or whatever, then go back like to where you just were and go like, you know, open a door and go forward. Now go back to like the starting point and take a picture of this door, turn around and go to the complete opposite side of the map and take a picture of a well. Now run back to the door. Like, it was just like shit like that. It's like a list of the shit you had to fucking like do. And I'm like halfway through it, or I was like, this feels really fucking tedious and I'm fucking stuck. And look, it's like, okay, the whole game is going to be like this. You know, I'm not going to fucking keep playing it. So yeah, after hours of doing that, yeah, just fucking, I'm like, all right, so this game kind of, I don't want to keep playing it, but I'm like, I remember fucking Fatal Frame being a big fucking deal, and maybe because this first one's so tedious, maybe that's where everybody points to Fatal Frame 2, like as that being like the pinnacle, like, oh, that's the good one, like one of the best horror games ever made. You know, maybe the first game was just like a proof of concept, take pictures of ghosts, like type of thing to fucking make that work, and that was like pretty much what it was, and the other shit was just kind of not well thought out. But I was like, oh, maybe the, you know, Crimson Butterfly, the second one, oh, they figured it out and it's actually good. And yeah, and I actually do remember liking these games back in the day. I remember liking them a lot. So yeah, I start playing Fatal Frame 2 Crimson Butterfly on the original Xbox, and I don't remember a fucking thing about it. Like, I stopped playing it, and I thought, I was gonna be like, okay, dude, this is the one that's really good, and I remember, like, all this shit. I remember where I'm, you know, the maps and all this shit, but I didn't. I might as well have been the fucking first time I played it, because I'm fucking like, okay, some of this shit looks familiar. A lot of the shit that was recycled from the first one, maybe, is what I'm remembering, or, you know, recycled from the other game, some of the locations, but it's like, what I'm doing here, like, I don't fucking remember at all. So that was, like, red flag number one of, like, fucking, like, maybe this isn't going to be, like, fucking what I expected it to be. So, yeah, you start the game playing as twin Japanese girls. I mean, you're controlling one of them, and the other one's following you around the whole time. And, yeah, it's that third-person fixed camera angle, almost tank controls like that, you know, but you have, at least you have like an analog stick to control the character, so it's not too bad as far as that, as far as the controls go. It's pretty smooth, like fucking, again, it's not like Resident Evil 1 or anything like that. So yeah, I swore, like, from what I remembered, of like, I don't remember playing these fucking girls for that long. I think like within the first hour or so, these girls like die or something, get spooked to death by ghosts or something like that, and you like take control of a guy to like go back and search for them or something. I thought that was like the rest of the, like the majority of Fatal Frame 2. You know, the old surprise character swap there, kind of like Metal Gear Solid 2 or something like that. Like, this is pretty early on, I'm pretty sure these girls go away and you're playing somebody else. But yeah, my memory is so shit because that doesn't happen at all. Like, I was playing the fucking girls like the entire time that I played. So yeah, one of the twins keeps getting lost and she's disappearing, and that's kind of your motivation to keep exploring these abandoned houses in a Jap ghost town. A literal Jap ghost town is the entire fucking game. So yeah, my experience with Fatal Frame 2 was almost a complete repeat of what I went through with Fatal Frame 1 last year. I might even like what I played of the first game better than 2. So yeah, early on, I mean, it's spooky enough that keeps me playing, kept me going. You know, there's a big fucking stone in a forest, like a table made of stone. It's got like ropes around it, ropes tied to it, or tied to trees, or some like ritual was held. You know, you're walking around, checking all these ancient bridges and like some cemeteries and shit, just like wandering around the fucking grounds at first. It's, you know, it's kind of cool to explore and see. It's like, okay, this is cool. It's going to be a decent place here. You know, the game looks really good for the most part. I mean, just fucking, all of like the crumbling buildings and the fucking forest and shit. I mean, the graphics are fine to look at. Like, yeah, it looks good. Like, it's a good looking game. Like, if you saw like screenshots of it, just looked at it for a little bit, like, oh yeah, the game looks cool and decent little fucking survival horror game. But trying to actually navigate that fucking town as you're playing, yeah, the entire game is this fucking film grain effect over it. Which, you know, I usually like that. You know, I usually like fucking, you know, like I can deal with like a grainy picture and shit, especially in like a horror game, kind of adds to it. But you combine that with like the color scheme that they use, where everything is like this washed out brown and gray and yellow, like everything, like there's no fucking color in any of it really. Plus the fucking design of all the interiors, where just every fucking house just looks exactly the same that you're fucking walking around in. It's just fucking, you know, same, nothing that stands out as like, you know, different colors or different fucking setup or fucking hallways. Just fucking like, oh, you're just fucking walking through these fucking buildings. It's fucking, everything looks the same. And, you know, you're in those fucking old, Japanese houses that have paper walls and paper doors, like everything's made out of that fucking paper or whatever, that fucking you can light goes through or whatever, you know. But it's not like a fucking Western. It's not like you're walking through like a European or fucking whatever castle, or just a regular house, like a modern fucking house or building, where just like something simple, like a door is going to stand out from a wall because it'll be a different color, or just fucking, you know, have like a, you know, fucking door handle on it or something, be made out of wood. It's just fucking just Jap doors and Jap walls just look like the same shit. It's just fucking, they might have like a little black dot, which is like the handle, a little hole you're fucking supposed to be sticking your hand in to open it. But otherwise, just fucking just white walls and just fucking cross, you know, crosses, fucking rectangles of fucking whatever, beams or whatever the fuck, the bamboo, whatever the hell they use in Japanese houses, wood. Is everything looks the fucking same. It's just the walls, everything. So, and then, you know, then you throw in the fixed camera into the mix. And there's way too many fucking camera angle changes in the game, which again just makes it ridiculous to fucking figure out where the hell you are. You know, you walk into a room and there'll be like a kimono or something hanging up to your right, like on a clothesline, and it's fucking, it's a kimono just there, a giant thing you can fucking see, like you're right in the foreground. So you can walk in there and be like, okay, well, this is, I'll just remember that I opened this door and there's a kimono on my right. It's just, this is the fucking kimono room or whatever. Remember, it's on my right. And then, like, you take a step forward and then one step and the entire camera angle will change. And now it's fucking, well, now that kimono's like behind you and the camera's like in front of you or whatever. So, and there will be like four or five like camera angle changes in one room. Like, you take a step, the fucking angle changes, it's behind you, to the left, to the right. So you know, and there'll be like a fucking like door, like if you were to walk into this room, if you can picture this, like you walk in, there's a kimono on your right. If you were to keep walking and just kind of like take a curve around it, there's like a door behind that, you know what I mean, like to immediately to your right. If you walked in a room, there'd be a fucking a second door immediately to your right, you know what I mean? And then like, okay, they put this kimono up to like separate that, so you have to like walk in like a U, or like, you know, do like a U-turn, do like a horseshoe to get behind to that door. But it's just like you go with like all these like, you know, five different camera angle changes to fucking like do that. It's just confusing as shit. It's ridiculous, like needlessly difficult. one of the most fucking confusing things I've ever fucking seen in a video game. Like the way the fucking camera angle changes are. Again, you can say it's fucking Sagat. All the survival horror games are like that. It's like, yes, but this in particular, dude, is fucking ridiculous. Like, it's fucking like five times as many fucking angles as there needs to be, which just makes everything fucking worse. like no reason. You're walking down a fucking hallway, dude, and it's fucking straight hallway, and it's fucking like, oh, he has five different fucking angles, dude, as he's going down. It's like, no, it'd just be easier just to leave it until I get to a door. You know, fucking swap the camera to show me a door, which it needs because you can't fucking see the doors anyway. But if there's one fucking change there, like, that would make sense, but they don't do that. Like, they're just fucking just walking, changes eight times, and like, you walk right past the door anyway. So, and of course, you know, the map in the game is just fucking useless. You know, why wouldn't it be? Not only does it not show you which doors are locked, if you can find them, so you're lost from that. I'm just fucking like, I don't know. You're always fucking lost. Like, fucking, you know, it's like, okay, you look at the map and, well, I didn't go through that door apparently, because there's nothing beyond it. It's just a fucking like blue line, which just means a door, but there's nothing beyond that. So is this like a door I need a key for or whatever? You know, then you spend an hour just getting there because the layouts are so fucking infuriating. Like, it's as fucking like frustrating as possible. This is fucking like walk through these goddamn houses. And you have to, like, you know, it's like, I'll just keep checking my map to see what direction I'm heading in, if I'm heading towards the door. And then it's like, okay, I'll remember that this fucking place I'm trying to get to, we have to, like, just go make sure I take a right here. And then, like, you walk 2 feet, camera angle fucking changes. So it's like, okay, now I have to think again, which way is my right? And you figure it out, take a couple steps forward, camera angle completely changes. Yeah, then you fucking get to the door eventually that you think you need to be at, and fucking like, oh, it's locked, and it's the fucking same door I've been to like five times checking, and it just doesn't fucking mark on the map that it's fucking locked or whatever. I can't get through it. Yeah, fuck that shit, dude. Like, yeah, Fatal Frame 2, it's unplayable. It's, completely, it's just, like, broken, like, completely fucking broken as far as I'm concerned. Like, you can't fucking play it now. I mean, you have to have the fucking patience of a goddamn saint to fucking make any kind of progress in that game. They do have, like, there's some white-haired guy that's locked in the shed, that will give you hints about, like, the next step you need to do, but you, even if he tells you, he'll be like, fucking, like, oh, it's in the whatever fucking Kawasaki house. And it's fucking, it's like, all right, so we gotta look in fucking the Kawasaki house, the Okinawa house, or whatever the fuck. You have to try to, like, remember that shit. And it's still, it's just so goddamn frustrating to get there. Like, sometimes they just have, like, the entire town will be open to you. I mean, I'd imagine for the majority of the game is, like, right off the bat, almost, just like, almost like an open world thing. Like, okay, you can just kind of go everywhere, dude, you know what I mean? You're going to, like, five different fucking houses at once. So, I mean, you're walking around fucking with way too much space to explore, just looking for, like, one specific closet somewhere that fucking something will happen in. You know what I mean? You're not going to fucking know until you just stumble across it. But yeah, what did me in finally is I was to the point where I'm just, like, trapped in these two houses, which are, they're twin houses. I mean, it's supposed to be these, you know, each house is built for a twin, you know, one of two, like, one for one twin, one for the other. And yeah, that's like the theme of the game, like the these twins, you know. So it's like, oh, these houses that just look very similar, like more so than even the rest of the houses that already look fucking very similar to each other. So you're in these two houses with two floors to each of them, and there's a bridge and a tunnel connecting the two houses. It's just a fucking nightmare to even get to those, to be like, okay, I want to go to the next house and have to go upstairs to find the fucking bridge, or down, you know, to the basement to find this fucking tunnel that connects them. And once you do find them and cross the bridge or the tunnel, go through the tunnel, they only work one way. Like, you only go from, you know, whatever, the west house to the east house, and then fucking that locks, and you have to fucking go all the way down to the basement and fucking, oh, now the fucking, the tunnel locks. So, yeah, it's fucking ridiculous. So, you know, if you want to go back into the house you just fucking came from, you just have to go through the entire fucking thing again. It's Jesus fuck, pretty much. Yeah, it's terrible. So, yeah, so it gets to the point where somewhere in those two houses, I was supposed to be doing something. Like, I have no fucking idea. I was just fucking aimlessly wandering around, and a ghost would pop up every now and then. I'd fucking kill it with my camera, hoping it would drop a key or something. But it wouldn't, and I'm pretty sure after a while, the ghosts just start randomly appearing after a while. It's fucking like, oh, you've been playing for an hour, do you like doing nothing? Oh, here's a ghost that just pops up now. It's like, oh, cool, now I'm just all getting even more turned around, because I don't know if that's like leading me towards where I'm supposed to go, or is it something you threw at me to fucking kill, to keep me from fucking killing myself from fucking boredom. You know, and you switch into the first person, you know, when you use the camera, it switches to the first person, you're following those fucking ghosts around, so it gets even more fucking confusing from there. So you're fucking like spinning around, like just trying to fucking find the ghost, and it's like, okay, now I just don't know which way it was fucking facing, where it was going. So, yeah, hours with no fucking clear objective, and I couldn't even go outside to check the dude with the gray hair to have him give me like a hint, because I'm pretty sure all the fucking doors out of those two houses were fucking locked anyway. So, I don't know. I had it. It was so fucking boring. I mean, the last ditch effort was to actually look up, like, my whole like mentality was like, okay, this is the one I'm just going to go through, dude. No walkthroughs. It's just an old school fucking survival horror. I'll do what I have to do to fucking get through it, even if fucking kills me. And I'm just fucking like, I'm just bored. Like, I'm not even like to the point where I'm confused. I'm not fucking whatever. I am just fucking bored, just walking around this shit, lost for hours. So I'll look up a walkthrough. And of course, the walkthrough is as badly fucking laid out on paper as it seems in the game, where it's, again, it's a flashback to the first fucking Fatal Frame, where it's like, go to this corner of the room, take a picture, go to this fucking closet, and a ghost will pop up, fight the ghost, now get a film reel from this closet, and go to the projector room, play the fucking film. It's just like, dude, I'm not fucking doing this. Just like a checklist of random shit to do, and it's fucking impossible to follow. Like, fucking to look up, like, what do I do now? I don't know. You'd have to fucking start from the beginning again, and just fucking, like, check all this shit off, because it's ridiculous. So, yeah, fuck Fatal Frame 2 and 1, really. And most likely fuck Fatal Frame 3, because I'm sure fucking next year around this time, or I'll just be like, fucking like, gee, dude, aren't fucking the Fatal Frame games like some of the best horror games ever made? And I'll fucking buy 3 and play it or whatever, because I'm a fucking asshole. The games are fucking really bad. So yeah, the new Call of Duty just finished installing. So yeah, let's put this fucking month long nightmare to bed and go back to the normalcy of me, so I can get other video games. Because that's what I do. I mean, that's what I'm here for. It's my lot in life. Gruntfreepress.com. You know, go there to see what became of this ordeal. This month-long fucking struggle. Mein Kampf. One review, I think, I got out of it. The fuck, the Beast Inside, that one review. That's about it. I'm Absolute Deicide. podcast@gruntfreepress.com is the email address if you really want to try to defend fucking the Fatal Frame series, or Hideo Kojima for that matter. I mean, try doing that and see how that goes for you.
Sometimes I need.